Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
AD, there it is. No Warrior team's ever made 10 threes in a quarter until right now. Final 5 seconds. Durant in a 51-point quarter.
I don't remember a better first quarter. That was a firework show.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Stripped to the ball. Arvidsson got it loose. Here comes Arvidsson. Short-handed on the breakaway. He scores! It's hat-trick time!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Trey controlling at midcourt. Wow.
A howitzer from midcourt.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
One in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson, in with you on this happy hump day.
Hump day.
I'm still wrapping up a conversation with family members.
Okay,
in a group chat.
What's the chatterbox on today?
I have a cousin that's not happy with the Gillette stuff.
Oh, he's anti-Gillette ad, that guy.
Which I did not see till last night at like 8:30 at night.
Yeah.
I had no clue that this was anything.
I didn't even realize it until I heard, I didn't get in the car, so I missed the opening of the segment, but they started primetime talking about it yesterday, and I piqued my interest. I'm like, what is this Gillette? What is everybody talking about?
Well, that would have helped me a lot, because I missed the start of primetime
I had
yesterday.
No clue. All right, and then it was like, I was 7 minutes in, so then I was late to figure out what they were talking about, and then I heard Gillette thrown around a couple of times. So then I got home and I watched the ad. I think my favorite response to it has been somebody was anti-Gillette ad and they took a picture on Twitter.
Okay.
And they threw their Gillette razor in the toilet and took a picture. It was like, this is what I think of your product. I'm on to some other razor company or whatever. And then everybody immediately pointed out, like, first, you realize you can't flush a razor down the toilet. So either if you do, you're going to have some serious plumbing issues, or you were so upset that you took that picture, sent it out, and now have to reach your hand back into the toilet to get said razor out of the toilet water. Didn't really think that one through.
Yeah, why didn't you just throw it away?
Like, you needed to make a statement on Twitter.
When my family does things like this, it's it gets pretty emotional.
Uh-huh.
Like where you don't talk to people for like 2-3 days.
Yeah.
So I've mostly stayed out of it.
Let things cool off a little bit.
But before I knew it was going to explode into this whole big family problem, my only response so far in the chat has been, hey, if you don't treat women that way, why do you care?
Yeah.
And he had no response for that. He kind of changed the subject. He was like, it's not about that. It's about the culture. And I was just like, again.
Okay, all right.
Why are you allowing yourself to be consumed by dumb, irrelevant things?
It reminds me of, we get so upset over advertising sometimes, and it just cracks me up. Like, one, if you don't want to use the product, then don't use the product. But the last one that I thought was funny that kind of happened the same way was, remember when Nike released the picture that Colin Kaepernick was going to be one of their faces of their new campaign,
yeah.
Right? So, and immediately people see that, and there's this, like, huge level of outrage. Ah, I'm burning my Nikes. I'm not, you know, everybody's all hot and bothered about it. And then they actually air the full-length commercial, and it's really inspiring.
It's a really good commercial.
It's a really well-done commercial.
You can hate Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
You can't deny that's not a great commercial.
So it's like, maybe just hold off your judgment, or if you don't like, just calm down, everybody. It's a commercial. Everything's going to be okay.
What would be funny is if the people who don't like Colin Kaepernick come out, and they're like, give me more of the legless wrestling kid. I don't want Kaepernick. It's like, really?
All right.
You care that much? Okay. Do I agree with the owner of Chick-fil-A that he doesn't agree with...
Yeah, certain things.
Gay marriage?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Still eat a Chick-fil-A.
I got a gay aunt. Yeah. I still buy chicken sandwiches every now and then.
Their sandwiches are delicious.
You cannot allow these people to get in your head to the point where you turn into that person. It's just, I don't know how that is a fun way to live. And I am convinced more and more the longer I am on social media, because we're talking a decade here now with Twitter and
Yeah, it's been Instagram. Around a while. I deleted my Facebook app, though. I'm officially done.
I've deleted my Facebook, which I have not told our boss about, but yeah. I don't have access to Facebook anymore. I think Facebook's irrelevant. I think it's full of ants who want to post cat memes. And quite frankly, I don't trust Instagram so or Facebook. So I'm done. I know they own Instagram. But
sure, sure.
Even that, I don't use quite like I used to.
Yeah, old Zuckerberg's had a rough stretch here the last like 2 years of news stories. And I was like, why? And I found myself just wasting time on it, like with no point. Like you don't get anything out of going on Facebook.
Nothing.
Like the people I want to stay in touch with and that I talk to, I stay in touch with and I talk with them. And usually it's just things you just keep scrolling. And then occasionally there'll be a funny video on there you'll watch. And I'm like, why am I wasting time every day of my life scrolling through this app? It's like sharing my information with people that has facial recognition technology. They're scamming me out all sorts of
stuff.
They're
sending your info to right? other companies.
Like, why am I doing? Why? Right. Why am I giving them my time and energy? Like, ah, screw it. So I haven't deleted my profile yet, but I did delete the app, so I just don't go on Facebook anymore.
I've actually, because I officially deleted it after New Year, I've had like four people go, dude, I can't tag you in this picture. I'm like, I don't check it anyway, and it's deleted. It's gone.
People still do that, huh?
That's still a thing. Yeah.
The other one I enjoy is people that post to their Facebook stories.
Facebook copied Instagram.
Because I used to get notifications like that, and I'm like, why is my phone buzzing? And then I look down, so-and-so posted to their Facebook story. Like, I don't need to watch that.
Well, look, I think of the two of us, we don't have to dive into politics, and I don't want to, but you follow it more than I do, right? And we'll occasionally... Hey, did you hear this? Did you see that, et cetera? When I have our show Twitter account up, I have tweet decks so I can see like the mentions and the timeline. I'll look at this timeline throughout a show in the middle of you talking or a commercial break or something.
Sure.
There is a listener, and I'm not going to name names. There is one listener that I see more than any other listener. All that person does is retweet anti-liberal stuff. All day.
Just over and over.
Snowflakes passed this bill but deny that bill. Why? Retweet Tommy Lauren. Retweet Donald Trump. Retweet. And I just think you either are doing that because you just, it's quick and you don't think about it, or you just, I don't know how you allow that stuff to consume your every waking second and want to be the angry person left or right on social media. That just does not seem like a fun life.
Does not seem like a happy existence. I'll say that.
No, it doesn't.
Just doesn't seem enjoyable to be infatuated with it day in and day out.
Yeah.
There's just, the more you're on social media, the more you realize, and you bring this up often, like when we get snapshots of responses from people, like even on sports topics, and you do have to remind yourself that it is not the majority of people. Like the opinion that comes from social media, whether it's on politics or sports, whatever, it's always the minority. Like not everybody's on Twitter. There's a whole bunch of people out there that don't go anywhere near social media. They don't touch it. They don't want anything to do with it. And it just, I think it breeds negativity. I think social media, it's just bad for us in general. There are some positives that can come out of it. There's no doubt keeping in touch with people and finding out news and information. And I had a funny one this morning because I didn't know who, Quavo.
Quavo from the Migos.
I had no clue who that is. Yeah. Our fan Twitter account, I'm assuming Buck probably sent it out this morning.
I know it wasn't Swag.
Right, because I don't think Swag knows who Quavo is either, so I'm assuming it was Buck.
I don't know who Migos is.
Yeah, so I was like, who the hell is Quavo? And we had funny back and forth on that, so that's not all negative, but you just got to stay out of the dark corners of social media.
Swag, it'd be funny if you text your son and go, hey, what's the name of Migos' first album? And he just his mind's blown that you even text that to him. What the hell is my dad doing?
The only Quavo I know is Jose.
Hey-o. Well, that's Cuervo.
Close enough.
Quavo.
Yeah, close enough, right?
And this is my point. Like, P1 Dustin, I'm more perplexed by the idea of Gillette's main customer base are men, so you make an ad that lecture men and tell them they are bad and need to be better, bold strategy, cotton. Let's see if it pays off. It may not pay off. This may blow up in Gillette's face. But here is my point, P1 Dustin. I get why some people kind of scratch the head, but if you're not one of those people who need to treat women right or whatever, I just don't think about it. I'm not like, oh my God, this Gillette commercial's sticking with me right now. I need to think about how I act as a human.
Right.
Right? Like, obviously they're placating to the women buyers out there who go shopping without their husbands and go, I got you shaving gel.
Right, right.
Gillette, boom. But for the guys who truly, like, let this linger on, Why? If you don't treat women badly, if you're raising good humans, boy or girl, what have you, you're a good husband, whatever. Why do you care about this? You just move on from it.
Just let it go.
Don't even think about it.
Just let it go.
Right.
People.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
And the fun part about all of it is, and this is the same thing kind of with Nike as well, with the Kaepernick stuff. There could be a certain percentage of people, I'm sure, that say, I'm done, I don't want to use your product anymore, or whatever, you're angry about it. But the buzz and content that they create from it overcomes that. Like the Nike boost that they got from the Colin, just the mentions and people talking about it, and then the ad came out, and it was a part of the national discourse for like a week. Like, hey, did you see the new Colin Kaepernick ad? And this one has done the same exact thing now. Like, when was the last time, other than you talking about shaving your undercarriage, that anybody around here had a conversation about razors? Has it ever been brought up?
No.
Nobody ever mentions it. It's a forgotten thing. Most people have the razor they buy. You stick with the razor that you like.
Yep.
Maybe you want a cheaper one, right? I mean, that's about it.
Maybe you go electric and you don't think about
anything.
Sure.
Maybe you don't even want... Yeah, you want to go electric razor, right? But it's never a part of our conversation. What are we all talking about now?
Right. So maybe
it's a part of family group text messages. Did you see the ad? How do you feel about the ad?
I'm almost scared to open the group text right now because I have 7 that I haven't read and... I can only imagine where this is going.
I'd be tempted just to start poking and prod and throwing some red meat out there.
Thanksgiving is canceled. We're not meeting up. I'm done.
Just throwing stuff out there you know is going to tick everybody in your family off.
I unfortunately just had this with another family member about a podcast. It escalated to the point where they canceled going on a family trip with us over a podcast.
What?
Yes.
What the hell's wrong with your family?
Look, my family is all kinds of messed up. I could talk for hours about my upbringing.
The enjoyment of a podcast?
No.
Was it the
idea?
I
can't believe you listened to that podcast. How dare you?
Oh.
Now, we have since buried the hatchet. We're good.
Can we name names on the podcast?
No, it was the Joe Rogan podcast.
Wait, what?
Yes, yeah.
So you told a family member that you listened to the Joe Rogan podcast.
So somebody said, what should we listen to? We're driving to this place that's like 4 hours away.
Right.
I said... I don't know, music, Joe Rogan podcast, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, Rogan will do like 3 hours.
I think he's the number one podcast in America.
Yes.
Right? Like
him or the New York Times Daily thing.
Yeah.
I don't listen to every Rogan thing. I don't subscribe to Rogan, but I'll occasionally go there to see the feed and see who was on.
I know Elon Musk was smoking a doobie on there.
I watched that. That was great.
Yeah.
But I mentioned that and it took off.
That was it, huh? Hate Joe Rogan that much?
Well, I was accused of being a white supremacist 10 minutes after I said it, and I couldn't believe it.
What?
Yes. Because he had a white supremacist on months ago that I never knew.
Oh.
And I was like, I didn't listen to that episode. I'm not a white supremacist.
I just don't like Joe Rogan because I thought he was annoying and Fear Factor and he ruined the man show.
There you go.
Right? I have no beef with this podcast, though.
If you don't like it, I don't care either. But I just couldn't believe
it. I quit this show. I'm not doing it anymore.
It got escalated.
I'm out of here. I quit. I'm done.
To the point, I had to pull off the highway, drop them off at a fast food place so they could Uber back to go home. I'm not joking.
I'm
not.
That is unreal.
Welcome to my family.
That is unreal.
Are we normal? Is this America now? Or is my family way off the reservation? I have no clue.
I think the Gillette ad is normal discourse for people to be angry about right now. But the whole listening to a podcast suggestion, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, man.
Well, we're good now. We have a good show today. We will move on. We will not be mad at each other unless we disagree with a sports opinion. We got the Daily Ticker coming up. We got 2 stops to make there. We have Stat or Story, of course, at 2:15. Cam Newton news. Out yesterday. That was pretty big.
Got hot Cam Newton news.
A bit of a bombshell. I want to talk about the mental health of NFL players. Mm-hmm. There's another story that popped up, and I want to know if the NFL should be stepping in here at all and feeling somewhat responsible. What should they do? What's their protocol? So we'll talk about that. The Golden State Warriors showed everybody last night why you shouldn't buy into the Denver Nuggets or any other team in the Western Conference. That was the most impressive quarter of basketball I've ever watched in my life.
How is that not on national TV?
I don't know. I wonder, but
the NBA does a great job of marketing their product. That one, you have number one, number two in the West.
Yeah, but Tuesday's like the NBA TV day, and not everybody has that channel. So we'll get to that. Blazer trade rumors. There is one writer that thinks Portland's going to be aggressive at the trade deadline. Are we buying it, or do we not trust Neil O'Shea to do that? We got a good show. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, at Brandon Sprague. But we'll start with the news of Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma. Can they win a national title with Jalen Hurts? We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. All right, 1220, welcome back in on the Fan. Jalen Hurts announced via the Players Tribune that he was going to Oklahoma. He thanked Alabama. Nick Saban said he'll always be part of the Alabama family no matter what, but he is going to head to Norman and play for Lincoln Riley.
He also got a recruiting trip out of Miami. I quite enjoyed that part of it, too. He went down, flew down to Miami. Everybody kind of was wondering because I think they hired the old Alabama quarterback coach to be their new offensive coordinator. So he got a nice little recruiting trip out of it, nice little weekend in Miami, and then decided to go to Oklahoma. This is, I mean, just talk about the rich getting richer. Oklahoma was finally looking at a year of not having a veteran quarterback or a big-time guy, if you will, and here is Jalen Hurts stepping right in. The fit's going to be really interesting. He's a good athlete. I think he developed a little bit as a passer this past year, and you saw it in the SEC title game. But it's going to be a question of, is that enough to get Oklahoma to where they are? Because you're talking about coming off two of the most historic seasons that we've ever seen from college quarterbacks, back-to-back, to have different guys do it in Mayfield and Kyler Murray and the Heisman trophies. This, to me, is a bit of a drop-off for him. So it's going to be reliant on the rest of the team. Kyler Murray carried that football team last year. Without him, maybe they go 8-4, 9-3. So you can't have a terrible defense. You need to be better everywhere else on the field if you want to make this work with Jalen Hurts, in my mind.
Yeah, I looked it up. So, you know, Texas is going to get a lot of hype going into next year, and I think they've earned that with their beatdown of Georgia. They came really close, by the way, to beating Oklahoma in that Big 12 championship game. That was a great football game.
Yeah.
The other part, too, I think about with Oklahoma, we'll see what West Virginia does at quarterback, but right now I think you can't quite put them there. Lincoln Riley is proven for 2 years now. He's a pretty good offensive mind, mm-hmm. and you kind of have to trust what he decides to do. I know Jalen Hurts doesn't really, you don't think of Jalen Hurts when you talk about throwing the ball around. But I was curious, so I looked up the last 10 years of quarterback play at Oklahoma.
Okay. And
obviously, that's not going to be all Lincoln Riley, but I was just, you know, how quarterbacks fare. Mm-hmm. On average, the last 10 years, quarterbacks are completing 64.5% of their passes. So, good. Not Baker Mayfield amazing, but
sure.
That's pretty good.
Not as high as Kyler and Baker.
Nope. 3,700 passing yards, close to 3,800 yeah. passing yards per season, 31 touchdowns, 9 picks. If Jalen Hurts can give you that production, I think Oklahoma can win the Big 12 championship again.
How good is their defense?
I'm led to believe that their defense has got to get better. Like, you can't get worse than what they were.
I would bet on that because it's Oklahoma and the way they recruit, and they got a new defensive coordinator. Like, I would be willing to bet on that.
They brought in Alex Grinch, by the way,
who
we all loved in the Pac-12 right. when he was at Washington State.
And that was a story we didn't talk much about. I thought that was a great hire for him. He's a great defensive mind, and it's a big opportunity for him to go from Ohio State, where, interestingly, after that, they fired Schiano and got rid of him, and he had a chance maybe to step into that role, but he goes to Oklahoma instead. I mean, they were historically bad on defense this year, and it's the reason why they went to the playoff and nobody gave him a chance to win was because they just couldn't stop a nosebleed. It was going to be fun to see what Kyler Murray could do against other teams, but, I mean, I think Alabama came out and scored, like, on their first four or five possessions of that game and just steamrolled up and down the field. They had maybe one good performance this year, and that was their win over Texas in the Big 12 title game, where defensively they kind of finally put it all together. But they need to be much better on that side of the ball. I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a solid year. I'm with you. Lincoln Riley's a good mind. They have talent all over the field because it is Oklahoma. But I do think Texas is a team to keep an eye out for in that conference. Texas
right.
beat them this year in the regular season. I know they lost in the conference title. They have a returning quarterback in Ellinger. The conversation of Texas being back, I'm finally willing to have. Last year, I kind of scoffed at it because they were in all these preseason top 15s. It's like, well, just go prove something first.
And they lost their first game against
Maryland. Lost their first game at Maryland. To me, they proved it, though, that they're absolutely, they took a step in this past year and had a chance to win their conference championship game. So I think that would be the biggest competition I would give them in the conference.
Can he get Hurts to look like a throwing quarterback? Because we never felt that way at Alabama. Can Lincoln Riley be that guy?
Yeah, I think he can.
Like, almost where we're like, whoa, this was not the Jalen Hurts we saw for so long.
Well, and I think that was the interesting part of last year is, I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, but the quarterback coach who went to Miami to be the OC, everybody behind the scenes down there was raving about the work that he had done with them. Just impressed. You just didn't see it much because I think he got hurt a little bit this year. And then when he did play, he was just in garbage time outside of the SEC title game where he led him to the comeback. But the people down there, when he did that in the SEC title game, said this is how he's looked all year. He wasn't good enough to play over Tua because you're talking about one of the best quarterbacks in college football. But they were raving behind the scenes about his development from the year that he got benched to when he came into the SEC title game. So I think he's already taken a step, and it showed when he led him to the comeback against Georgia.
So Tate Martell chose Miami. He announced that yesterday. Hurts is now at Oklahoma. What's the other name? Wimbush is going to UCF. Is there another quarterback I'm missing?
Fields is to Ohio State.
I know Fields was the five-star kid, and I think for a long time the number one overall prospect. But did Oklahoma get the best transfer quarterback available?
If Fields can play right away, and I don't know the eligibility on that. I'm not sure if he can. If Fields can play right away, then no. I would take Justin Fields over him.
If Fields redshirted last year.
But he played. I don't know how many games he played in, though. I can't remember that off the top of my head.
So you don't think so? Fields?
Yeah, if he has to sit out a year, then yeah, because Martell's an unknown. He hasn't played yet. Wimbush is decent, but I think he's a slightly lesser version of Jalen Hurts. Similar, limited in his passing, good athlete, can run around. But Notre Dame's offense went to another level when they made a quarterback change this year. I think he's a great fit at UCF. That's a solid pickup for their program. But I would say Hurts is better than him.
There's a story that says on a website that I clicked that Fields has a chance to be eligible, but it's...
Maybe he's filing for some form of petition or something.
Yeah, it appears promising is what it says, but not guaranteed.
Okay. The other really frustrating part of this story that just... I hate when I see headlines like this is there is an Oklahoma quarterback.
Austin Kendall,
who has been there and he has graduated and he's eligible to play right away. It's just like Hurts. When you transfer and you're a grad transfer, you can play right away. He wants to go to West Virginia because Oklahoma now is welcoming in a new starting quarterback. He's not going to play. He wants to go to West Virginia and Oklahoma is trying to block it to allow him to play right away.
Okay.
These kind of stories drive me nuts. It's like you're bringing in a transfer quarterback because this guy's not good enough to be your starter. So you're basically saying, see you later.
We don't want you.
We don't want you, because if we did, we wouldn't be welcoming in Jalen Hurts to be our starting quarterback. So he says, okay, I've given your program a couple of years. I've graduated. Let me go play in a fun offense at West Virginia, and I have a chance to start there. And they're saying, nah, we're going to make him sit out for a year.
They won't let him
play
any team on their schedule for 2 years.
So stupid. You don't want him. Yeah. Let him go. I hate when college programs do that. You're better than that, Oklahoma.
All right, let's go to the Daily Ticker. Our first stop is actually going to be at Oklahoma to talk about the Sooners picking up Jalen Hurts. We'll mention the Austin Kendall story. We got two stops to make. The Daily Ticker is next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. We were just discussing Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma, so we're going to start the Daily Ticker there with Jason Kersey of The Athletic. He is the Oklahoma beat writer, and he joins us now. Jason, thanks for joining us here in Portland, man. We appreciate it. Sure. Was this the best quarterback option for them?
Well, probably. I mean, the other one that would have had the best shot would be Austin Kendall, and he had already entered the transfer portal. It was already unlikely he was coming back. So I think this is sort of a best case scenario. You lose a Heisman Trophy winner, actually two Heisman Trophy winners in a row, and Mayfield and Murray, and now you get to replace it with a guy who's played in three national championship games, was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year as a freshman. And it's sort of an all-around good guy, good team guy. Nobody really has a bad word to say about Jalen Hurts. So all things considered, I think, for the most part, this is a pretty good day for Oklahoma. And all of a sudden, it doesn't seem so daunting having to replace Kyler Murray anymore.
Well, in one of the parts of our conversation we kind of focus on in talking about this is just questioning and wondering, I guess, how good their defense is going to be. Because, they were great this year as a football team, but a lot of it was just Kyler Murray winning shootouts and, scoring a ton of points and historic numbers on offense. But we're kind of questioning, can Jalen Hurts get them to that point? So maybe they need a better defense in order to have that same level of success. So what does the defense look like next year?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's sort of the big question, I think, that is going to determine whether Oklahoma is actually a legitimate national title contender or not. It has been for the last few years. It's been all about the defense. This is a team that has relied completely on its excellent offense and its Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. But when push came to shove, they were unable to get over the hump the last 2 years with two all-time great college quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. And the reason was because of their defense. And so, you know, Lincoln Riley obviously made a change in the middle of last year. They still got to the playoff, but they still just weren't good enough. Now they've improved the talent on that side of the ball. They bring in a guy in Alex Grinch, who I think fits very nicely in terms of his philosophy, his experience working as a defensive coordinator for an air raid team. So all of those things seem to fit, but it's just going to be a matter of producing results, and we just won't know that until they actually line up and play.
Jason, the story of Austin Kendall wanting to go to West Virginia came out, and it sounds like Oklahoma's blocking him from going to some teams that they're going to play. What do you know about that, and kind of just your overall view of programs when they do this, when they block kids from going to certain programs or within the conference?
Well, I don't like it. I mean, I think that it's wrong. I think that the transfer portal has done so many things to fix many of the problems with the NCAA transfer process. It's sort of helped take some of the decisions out of the hands of the coaches, because the coaches will always choose in their own interests, and that, you know, makes sense for the most part. But, you know, in this case, is the kid, Austin Kendall, who has graduated. He's done everything they've asked him to do. He has been the victim of some really unfortunate timing. I mean, this kid showed up to enroll early at Oklahoma at a time when Baker Mayfield was going to have 1 year left and then he was going to leave. Well, from the moment he signed, you had Kyler Murray jump into the mix at the same time, transferred in. Mayfield got his lost year back from Texas Tech. And so all of a sudden, he was behind two guys that would go on to win the Heisman. And now, he finds out that when he finally is going to have his shot, he's got 2 years of eligibility left, Oklahoma's going to bring in Jalen Hurts for a visit. And so he did what any rational person would do. He explored his options. And so my view of it is that, you know, especially when it's a grad transfer, I think a grad transfer has done everything that they're supposed to do. He's been part of the program. He hasn't complained. And he's done the thing that everyone says matters the most, which is graduate. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, then I think they should be able to go wherever they want.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. Just looking at the conference as well, not knowing as much about all those teams and what they're bringing back, Texas is the one that obviously sticks out in our mind, but is there anybody else down there that has a chance to threaten them in the Big 12 next year, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Texas Tech is going through a coaching change. West Virginia is going through a coaching change, and they sort of lost a lot of what made them a formidable opponent last year. Oklahoma State is always going to be right there, but their quarterback situation is very unclear right now. So right now it looks, we're 9 months from the season, but it certainly looks like it's going to be Oklahoma and Texas at the top of the league again.
Jason Kersey, The Athletic, covers Oklahoma. Our guest to talk about Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma, their defense, and the Austin Kendall transferring story that came out today. Jason, thanks for the time, man, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks. Anytime, guys.
All right, there we go. Let's get on Dan Wojcicki now of the LA Times, covers the NBA at large, and he joins us now. We're moving on to the NBA. Dan, thanks for the time, man, in Portland. We appreciate it. How about 51 points in a first quarter? That was the best basketball I think I've ever seen played by a team in one quarter, and I think Golden State is not ready to give up the throne yet.
That's, I think, my favorite part about it is that it happened in Denver, in a game that had a little hype. You know, one of the things I like best about the Warriors over these last 5-6 seasons, it seems like whenever there's like a good dramatic moment ahead of them, they do something like this, right? They just have such a thirst for just crushing team souls. I guess is the best way to put it.
We can relate with that feeling, by the way.
We know that well.
Yeah, right? I mean, I covered the Clippers for years. I saw him do it to them, quarterly. I think watching them come out last night, Kevin Durant was so good. Klay Thompson was so good. And then you look at their sideline, and there's this giant piece to Marcus Cousins that they're going to add here this week. It does feel like we spent the last 2-3 months looking at teams that we thought could unseat the Warriors, but then they crack open a performance like that, and you just wonder if we were just fooling ourselves.
They were right under our noses the entire time, just waiting.
Never saw it coming.
I mean, you mentioned Boogie. I can't remember the date, so if you can give people that, because I couldn't remember off the top of my head. But then also, just in a fit perspective, we've all been wondering since he announced it in the offseason that he was going to go to Golden State, how does this all fit with all those guys on the floor at the same time? So what date is it, and then how do you see that playing out?
I think it's the 18th against the Clippers. I think that's the date. I don't know if that's Friday or Saturday. It's the NBA. Every day is Tuesday to us. It just feels like they're all the same. Fit is a really interesting question with him. They haven't had a player like him before. Integrating Kevin Durant, a piece on the wing, he's very different, obviously, than Steph Curry and stuff like that. But he is sort of that level of dynamic player. They were able to kind of do it pretty seamlessly. They haven't had a throw it in the post kind of guy. Now, to DeMarcus Cousins' credit, that's just not all. I mean, he can do more, right? This is a guy who can step out and shoot threes. I've talked to some coaches who feel like they really need sort of some more interior presence, that Kevon Looney isn't enough, that Damian Jones, who got hurt earlier this season, wasn't enough, that they needed a kind of a big guy down there to kind of handle some of the size that's out there in the Western Conference. You look at, what if they were to see a team like Philadelphia in the finals, right? Who would ever possibly guard Joel Embiid? Now they've got a guy, got a 7-footer that they can play 30 plus minutes, help. Let's assume he's healthy enough to do it, but who can kind of handle all of that stuff. So I think it's a pretty good fit. I think they've been really cautious and really slow about this. They've had 50 games or so, 40 plus games now to figure out how we're going to use this guy. I think it'll be somewhere in between, this is a guy we want to try to get 8 or 10 touches and sort of weirdly the way that the years ago they used Mo Spates, to kind of come off the bench and just score. He's going to start at the start of the season here when he comes out, or at the start of his season, I'm sorry. But, I do think that he could be a guy that with bench units becomes a primary scorer for 4 to 5 minute stretches and is just impossible to guard.
Dan, James is going for his 18th straight game of 30 points or more. He takes on Brooklyn tonight at 5 o'clock our time. Two-parter for you. One, is he the best offensive basketball player you've ever watched? And two, who would be your MVP just a little past the halfway point of the season?
Yeah, the first question, he's right there. Steph Curry, I think, we get lost in some of this just because of, just how dynamic he is, how different he was, to have a guy who could come down and shoot from 30 feet and just extend defenses that way. My cop-out answer on James Harden is he's the best one-on-one player I think I've ever seen. He's somebody who, is simultaneously a ball hog in the sense that he can have it for 18 to 19 seconds in a possession, but he's also a terrific passer, right? He's a great passer. He uses angles incredibly well, has tremendous footwork, is very unorthodox, has just like vice-like hands, right? He shows defenders the ball and is able to kind of pull it back, and that's how he gets fouled as much as he does. I wrote about him, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and talked to Doc Rivers, and that's what Doc Rivers said. He's the best one-on-one player he's ever seen, and that's a guy who guarded Michael Jordan. So I think that's pretty high praise. As far as MVP goes, I would probably lean towards Giannis Antetokounmpo right now, just because I've spent 3 weeks practicing his name. I think that's my MVP. As long as I can properly pronounce it, I think I'm going to vote for him.
Dan, can you spell it?
That's a challenge.
I believe I can. I believe I got
it up right now. Go ahead.
Okay. A-N-T-E.
Yep.
T-O-K-O-U-N-M-P-O.
100%.
Hit it.
You
look
got
at
it.
That.
Look at that.
That's an MVP right there.
By the way, Dan, wow. I took about 3 weeks before this show to pronounce your last name right because I followed you for years, but I always
that's
screw
only,
names.
Only like five letters, too. That's
I
like,
know. Come on. It's easy, man.
I'm bad with names.
I did want to ask you just the perspective down there of just Portland this year, where they're at, right? Again, stuck in the middle of the Western Conference, probably not good enough to make any actual noise, but what's the out of Portland opinion on the Blazers and where they are this season?
Well, they're really interesting. They're a team I'm going to try to come up and see in a couple of weeks. And sort of my thought with them is, like you said it, it's sort of like they're perpetually where they are. And on one hand, there's some disappointment in that because this team has a very, I think, pronounced ceiling. You know, a team that can maybe get to the second round of the playoffs. I don't think anybody really expects them to move, you know, to a conference final. But, you know, when you look at a conference that has 13 teams that you could talk yourself into being as, you know, pretty competitive teams that have really competitive pieces, maybe even 14 teams, you know, being fourth and fifth and being kind of there all year is really, really impressive. You know, they're a tremendously consistent regular season team. I think they're very well coached, obviously have a great backcourt, and they've, you know, they've done it, I think, with different ways with different guys, you know, as sort of complementary pieces. They're a good team. I think they're a team that, you know, if you're talking about who you want to play in the top five of the conference right now, them and Denver would probably be at the top of teams' wish list. Mm. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Portland won itself a playoff series. I think they've proven that they'll kind of just be in this sort of, it feels like forever. It just feels like they're kind of perpetually who they are.
Do you expect, as quickly as possible, because we're way against it, do you expect a busy trade deadline? Do you expect a big trade to go down?
As far as busy, I would say no. I think because of next summer and there being so many kind of really marquee guys out there, I think a lot of teams are looking towards that. As far as big players go, no one bigger maybe than, say, like someone of like Bradley Beal. I don't imagine like an Anthony Davis trade or anything.
Okay, yeah, and Beal's balling out of his mind since John Wall got hurt. Dan Wojcicki of the LA Times, national NBA writer. Hey, man, if you're up here in a couple weeks, we'd love to get you in studio if you have the time. If not, whatever, we'd love to catch up with you down the road.
All right, sounds good.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from him. Dan Wojcicki of the LA Times covering the NBA at large. Portland, a nice little regular season team.
Hey!
But you want to play them in the playoffs.
Perpetually where they are. Same spot every year. I've heard that one before. The Bradley Beal trade, I think, would be interesting. I floated that.
I don't think they're trading him.
You don't think the Wizards will trade him?
I think the Wizards are trying like hell to get rid of John Wall. Yeah. And I don't know who takes on John Wall's contract because he's going to make $41 million in 2 years.
Yeah, I had a couple people because when that first was reported that they were, you know, looking, they were having a terrible season, and I floated it on Twitter like, can we swap CJ for Bradley Beal? And I don't even think the Wizards would do that deal because Beal's better. And I even had some Blazer fans shoot it down.
Like they don't want it?
Like they wouldn't want to pull that trigger. Come on, man.
All right, Daily Ticker stops in Norman, stops in Los Angeles, talking NBA in general, and the Jalen Hurts transfer. There's the Daily Ticker. We're back with more on 1080 The Fan. Coming up at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, we'll talk about Cam Newton, but I want to bring up this NFL story. Are you a big fan of eating gumbo?
Eating gumbo.
Yeah, do you like gumbo?
I do like gumbo.
I like gumbo when you take out the shrimp.
Okay.
And maybe you can make a point that's not real gumbo.
Nah, that's faulty gumbo. I had we had gumbo at the Nebraska tailgate. Remember that?
We did.
And for my uncle made it.
I made sure to go around the shrimp.
It was like authentic, man. That was a kick-ass tailgate meal because you're out there, a nice day. Made you feel like you're actually at a football game.
Well, Marcus Peters wants to eat gumbo.
Okay.
With Sean Payton. So if you don't know what this story is, Sean Payton, after their game against the Rams earlier this year, Michael Thomas lit the Rams secondary up.
Yes, he did.
Well, Marcus Peters was actually traveling right and left sides of the field to just follow Michael Thomas. And Thomas just destroyed him. And Sean Payton was asked about it after the game if he was surprised about seeing Marcus Peters go on both sides of the field to follow Michael Thomas. And Sean Payton said, quote, "That was the plan. They were going to travel Marcus to him, and that was fine by us. We thought we really liked that matchup a lot."
Ooh, shots fired.
Well, somebody told Marcus Peters, who is not a happy individual most of the time.
Yeah, he's always looking for something to be angry about.
And he said, quote, "Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that S. We're going to see him soon. You feel me? I liked what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So I'll tell him, Keep talking that S, and I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Ooh, eat some gumbo after the game, huh?
Well, Sean Payton was asked about it today. What kind of gumbo does he like to eat? And Sean Payton knew exactly what that reporter was trying to do, and he shut the question down.
Just immediately.
He would not answer the question because he knew it was a reference to Marcus Peters.
Come on, Sean. Play along a little bit.
A bowl of gumbo might be on the line this weekend, aside from winning the NFC title and going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on with Marcus Peters, man. He is always angry at somebody hooting and hollering. Well, it was him, right, that got the personal foul call on Dallas's first touchdown drive. Wasn't that him? Because it was a 4th-and-1. They went for it. Zeke got the run. But him and Amari Cooper were pushing and shoving after the play.
And Cooper hit him back second. Right, and they thought they were going to flag Cooper, but
it
wasn't.
But they actually got it on the first guy. Yeah. So the refs finally got it right. But I was in that moment. I was like thinking to myself, what if L.A. had gotten a stop there? Because they went for it on 4th-and-1. But he's over on the other side, completely away from the play. With nothing, because they turn around and hand it off right up the middle. And he's out there punching Amari Cooper in the face. You give your team a 15-yard penalty. What if he got a stop, would have had the ball, but instead it's a penalty? You can't do dumb stuff like that. L.A. might win the game, but it's not going to be because he shuts down Michael Thomas. Thomas is going to torch him again.
Peters, by the way, also the guy that went into the crowd this year and, like, confronted the fan 5 rows up into the stands.
Yeah.
And the fan was like, oh.
Is he the only guy that Chris Peterson has ever kicked off a football team?
No, but I remember when that happened, there were some people who was like, Chris Peterson, look at him. He's trying to send a message being too strict. I think hindsight now, that was a good move.
Yeah, I think he was proven right on that one.
Yes.
Like, Peters is a hell of a player. He's had a good NFL career, but
he's had a shaky year this year, though.
He has. That entire secondary has, and they're going to need to play much better. I love stuff like this, though, from Sean Payton. Like, we talked about it briefly last week with him wheeling in the $200,000 in cash and the trophy, you know, saying, go win 3 games if you want this. The little things that he'll do to motivate players. Did you see the video of him doing the Key and Peele handshake?
I did.
Before the game? Yeah, like shaking every player's hand differently. That was hilarious if you missed it. And he does trash talk players on the sideline.
Yeah.
And I think it's fun. Like occasionally you'll get to look at the mic'd up stuff. And I just saw one we might have to play later. There's a mic'd up thing of Joey Bosa on the sideline talking about Tom Brady this past weekend when he was just shredding him the entire game. So it's better when you can get the mic'd up stuff, but I love seeing a head coach trash talk players on the other side.
One listener says the Better You Today text line, even Plaxico Burress thinks Marcus Peters is a knucklehead. Shots fired. Pun intended. So we'll see what that matchup is. I'm sure we'll see Peters talking at Sean Payton, but
can't believe you take the shrimp out of gumbo.
Well, somebody else said there's gumbo and shrimp gumbo.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not buying that.
I am more of a jambalaya guy, though.
Yeah, well, jambalaya, I mean, yeah, that's
jambalaya.
Good. Jambalaya. It's just fun to say.
Spicy.
I just know. That to me, it's like gumbo light. It's like diet gumbo.
Yeah.
You know? That's not the real thing.
We got a loaded second hour. We're going to kick it off with Cam Newton. Are we not going to have Cam Newton 2019? What the hell are Duck fans going to be mad about in the NFL? We'll talk about that next hour, too. Back with more on The Fan.